Today we're going to continue our series, Firmly Rooted. We've been looking at what we believe as a church. You know, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. And we've been touching on major doctrines of the church. And we're all called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all called to follow Him and do what He says. And so this morning we're going to continue along that line. You know, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who is a learner, someone who listens and adheres to instruction, someone that's teachable, someone that's willing to use what they're hearing and apply it to their life. Today we're going to talk about the subject of giving. You know, many times when we start to discuss the subject of money, people become uncomfortable and they don't like to hear about it. But as a matter of fact, the Bible has a lot to say about money. And money is a big part of our lives. The Bible has a lot to say. We're going to take a look at some very practical things regarding money and also what God has to say about it. And so we're going to be looking at the why, the what, and the how of giving. You know, sometimes people will ask me as a pastor, you know, what is it that we're supposed to give? What is it that we're supposed to give? Or why should I give? You know, giving should be a part of your everyday life. Being a believer, you should be a giver. We are made in the image of God, and God is a giver. You know, we quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." God is a giving God. It is His nature. It's who He is. You know, too many people are serving God today from the have to. Do you know what I mean by that? People serve God because they have to or they're supposed to. People don't enjoy sometimes doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. People don't enjoy prayer, tolerate it. They don't enjoy reading their Bible. They're doing their chapter to get it over with. We're not supposed to tolerate our Christianity. We're supposed to be enjoying the ride. We're supposed to be thrilled with God. We're supposed to be in love with Him and not just have to. So we want to make sure that in everything that the Word talks about and tells us to do, that we're not just doing it because we're supposed to or have to, but we're doing it because we want to. You know, God's plans for us is to have a passion about the things of God, things of the Spirit. We're supposed to be passionate, and that passion should move us to doing. We're supposed to be in love with Him. We're supposed to be excited about the things of the Spirit. We're supposed to be passionate about the things of the Spirit, and that moves us. Not just discipline, not just routine, not just have-tos. Yes, there is a place for obedience. Yes, there is a place for discipline. But that shouldn't be how we live our Christian life. There should be joy. There should be passion. There should be a zeal about you. That you love God. And because you love God, you want to do what He says. You want to do what God says. There should be an excitement that you get to do what He says. Not only the Bible talks about giving, but we get to give. We get to serve. We get to pray. We get to read His Word. We get to hear from heaven. Not just have to, but that we get to. And there's a big difference there. You know, the Bible talks over in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, that it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. That means that God is working in you not only to do, but to will. That if you don't want to, that God can change your want to. He can change you from the inside. He can give you a desire for more things of the Spirit. He can give you a desire to serve Him. He can give you a desire to grow. He can give you a desire to give. He can give you a desire to pray. He can give you a desire to read the Word. If you're not interested in it or it's grown cold, God can stir that up on the inside of you. It is God's will that He moves in you. God will give you the desire and change you. You know, last week we talked about the local church. We talked about who the church is, that you are the church. And the church creates the atmosphere of the church. That when you come in, you bring the church with you. And if you're coming and you don't want to be here and you're grumpy and you're not interested in God and you're tolerating it, that you're bringing that atmosphere here. And yet we always pray, God, bring in the harvest, let people get saved. And if we're bringing in that kind of an attitude, people aren't going to want to come. We are the church, and we create the environment of the church. And if we want to see something more, then we're going to have to change. That we're going to have to make some adjustments. You know, you have to remember why you love God. You know, think about it. If we're the church, we create what others think about the church. We have to be careful. We have to remind ourselves about who we are and why we do everything that we do. Why do we worship God? Why do we spend time singing and clapping? And is it just so that we can practice our singing? No, it's worship unto God. That you could give Him honor. That you could give Him praise. Why do we give an offering in the bucket as it goes by, just so that people don't think we're stingy? No, because we want to honor God with our life. We want to obey the Word. We want to do what He wants us to do. You take your personal relationship for a moment. If you have a significant other in your life, if you don't stop and remind yourself at times why you're married and think about the good things in your life, you will eventually forget and you will become discontent in that relationship. You will start to look around and say, well, more people are having more fun over there. Maybe it's time for a trade-in. Why? Because you've stopped thinking about the benefits. You've stopped thinking about what you love about that person. You've stopped thinking about what's important to you from that person. The same is true with our relationship with God. We have got to take time to remember who He is. Take time to be thankful that we've been forgiven, that we've been washed in the blood, that we've been redeemed and saved and delivered from darkness. Oh, yeah, I know all that. Yeah, I know all that. Yeah, yeah. No, you need to think about it. Let it soak in a little bit. You need to spend some time worshiping. Well, I've sung that song before. Yeah, and you need to sing it again. Yeah, I prayed that before, you need to pray it again. Let your heart connect. Let your mind re-engage. Become alive unto God. Keep yourself alive to Him. You've got to keep yourself spiritually. You've got to keep your heart focused on Him. Otherwise, you'll become discontent. There are lots of people in the body of Christ who are cruisematics. They go from one church to the next, 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 because they're discontent. They're looking for something to thrill them. And really what they've forgotten is who they serve. They've forgotten who they're in love with. And they're looking for external things to thrill them. You know, I know we're talking about giving this morning. We'll get there. We have to be open to allow God to work in us. If you don't remind yourself of why you serve the Lord and why you love the Lord and why you give and why you come to church, it's going to become mechanical to you. It's going to become routine to you, and you'll become religious. And I don't mean that as a compliment. You'll become religious, going through the motions. You'll become plastic, something artificial, not genuine. You've got to stay connected to the very life source. You've got to plug into heaven. What is it that you have for me today, Lord? I know that you want to speak to me. My ears are open. I'm searching for you today. I'm seeking you out. I'm pressing into you today. I want more of you. I'm hungry, God. Give me more. You've got to stay connected. We've been going through the doctrines of the church. We've been talking about major doctrines, and I don't want them to be words on a page. I want them to be something alive in you. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want you to get excited. Oh, that I'm born of God. I've got the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in other tongues. God is so good to me. I don't want it just to be another doctrine. We've got religion after religion after religion out there with dusty books of doctrine. We serve the living God. He's alive. And he wants you. He's interested in your life. He's interested in what you're thinking. He's interested in where you're going and what you're doing. Don't just take another doctrine or, this is number 9. Pastor's given us the major doctrines of the church. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to stir into your remembrance. I'm trying to stir into your remembrance why we do what we do and the meaning behind it. It's not just about do this and do that. It's who we are. Giving is about generosity. Generosity should be a part of who you are. We're to be imitators of God, and He is a generous God. He is a giving God. He is a loving God. And I'm not just talking about money. Let me give you 7 quick things. I'm just going to go through these quickly. I want to tell you that we do have notes available for all of these. I have it somewhere. We have notes available for all of the different lessons we've been teaching. And I encourage you to stop by the Information Center, pick one up. You can also get them online from our website. Here it is. They look like this. This is lesson number 9, giving. 7 reasons why you should be a giver. And again, hear the message, not the do's and the don'ts. 7 things why you should be a giver. Number 1, give to establish God's plans in your life and in the lives of others. The Bible says over in Deuteronomy that we should remember the Lord, for he gives us power to gain wealth, that we may establish his covenant. It takes money to preach the gospel. And so the primary purpose of you being blessed is so that you could sow into the gospel, that you could invest into the kingdom. It's not the only reason you have wealth, but it should be something that you should remember. The second one is one that we talk about all the time, over from Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. It talks about honoring the Lord with your wealth. Just as we sing and offer praise and worship, giving an offering, giving a tithe, is also honoring God. You honor God with your substance, with the first fruits of all your crops. Number 3, giving produces the blessings of the Lord in your life. Remember Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 38, it says, "Give and it will be given back unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be poured into your lap, for the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." One way that God can bless your life is through giving. God wants to increase you. And I want you to hear that. God wants to increase you. Sometimes when we talk about money, people are always thinking about what we're trying to get from you. God is trying to get something to you. He's trying to get something to you. And he said that if you'll give, he will give to you. God doesn't need your $20. God doesn't need your $100. God doesn't need anything from you. But he is trying to get something to you. And he said that if you'll give, he will give back unto you multiplied. Number 4, give because you are thankful for what God has done. You know, the Psalms are full of prayers of thanksgiving. Psalm 106 says, "Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." It's a way to give thanks. It's a way to bless others. It's a way to bless God. You know, think about it. In our natural life, from time to time, we give gifts to one another to bless each other, to tell how much we're thankful for them, to tell how much we love them. The same is true with God. We bring our offerings before the Lord to show our gratitude, our thanksgiving. Number five, give to God out of obedience to His Word. His Word tells us to be a giver. Over in Malachi, it talks about bringing the tithe into the house of the Lord, into the storehouse. We're going to talk specifically about that in a few minutes, but we're to give out of obedience to the Lord. Again, not mechanically, not with our hearts disconnected, but out of obedience. How many of you want to obey the Lord? That should be something you desire to do, not because you're afraid of getting caught not obeying the Lord, but because you want to please Him. You want to give to Him. You want to do what He says. Give out of obedience, but enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's fun to give. It's fun to give. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I love to give. I love to give. You know, I remember a while back we were driving down our in our neighborhood, and there was two little girls selling lemonade. And they long pigtails, and they had made their lemonade sign and the little card table out near the road, and they were pouring glasses of lemonade. And I remember I went by and I said, "How much is the lemonade?" And they said, "Oh, it's 25 cents a cup." And I said, "Well, I'll take two." And you know, they were just so excited. "Yeah, two! Oh, we sold two!" And they run around, two, we sold two. And I remember getting these glasses of pink lemonade, and you know, you can tell that they're sticking their finger in it as they're pouring it. And I gave them $3, and you could have thought that I gave them a million. And they take their $3 and they're running around, "Oh, we got $3. And, you know, I didn't even drink the lemonade. But I took it with me and, you know, held it in the car as I'm driving away. You know, but it's more blessed to give than to receive. It was a thrill to do that to two little girls. How many times do we have opportunities to give? And it's such a great thing that we can give. We want to be a giver. Make your life about giving. And again, not just in money, but be a generous person. Give of yourself. Sometimes that'll mean you investing time talking to someone else. "Well, I'm a busy person. I'm important. I'm busy. I'm important. I don't have time to talk to you." No, give. Give. We're supposed to be a light to people. We're supposed to be salt and healing and, you know, opportunities to lay hands on the sick and pray for people and encourage people. Well, you can't do that if you don't talk to them. Give of yourself. Give of yourself. Number six, giving speaks of your love and commitment to God. You know, in the early church, they didn't give because there was a book of rules that told them to give. Many times they had to, you know, they were admonished for their giving. You know, over in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, it says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see also that you excel in the grace of giving." You know, giving is a part of our life. We should excel in it. Be an example for others. And the last one here of why we should give is number seven, giving puts you in a position to reap eternal rewards. You know, when Jesus was here, he taught his disciples that, you know, everything wasn't about this life that we live, that there are eternal rewards. He said in Matthew 6, verse 19, "Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also. I think Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Find a channel in your life to give. Look for opportunities to give. You know, you have to really be creative. You know, it's not just about giving offerings and money to the church or supporting a missions or feeding the orphans. It's not just about those things. There's so many ways that you could be a giver. You could take a slow walk around your house. Say, Lord, is there something here I could give to someone that is praying for something? You'd be surprised. What a blessing it is to give. Maybe you could pray, Lord, is there someone that I could bless? Maybe you get a little extra money and you say, okay, Lord, I want to sow a seed. I know I always ask the Lord, I want to sow a seed. Show me. Direct me in my giving. It doesn't have to be $1 million. It could be 10, 50. It could be anything that you have on your heart to give. But let the Lord direct that. Let the Lord direct where you sow. You know, the purpose for giving, when you give to a ministry, when you give to an organization, when you give to a church, you know, you are, as a good steward of your finances, you should know where that money goes. My wife got a phone call a couple weeks ago from someone on the phone collecting money for a particular, I think it was for women's breast cancer. And this woman rattled off some things to her, and my wife said, send me something and you know, I'll consider it. And they sent us something, and then they called back, and they were just, it just didn't seem legit. You know, it's like, you know, not that we don't give to those things, but we have to be good stewards. You have to do, you have to know that people are accountable. You have to know where things go. And know what it's being used for. You know, when we support missions here at the church, the money, the Core Love is one of our missionaries. They build orphanages in Haiti, and they're supporting children, and they're feeding children, and they're teaching children. They take them off the streets. We know where the money is being used. I've seen the work. I've seen pictures. I've talked to the people who are on the ground. I know what they're doing. We support other mission, other ministries, other things, people that are doing great things for the gospel. You know, even here at the local church, you know, we need to understand that when we give tithes and offerings, where does that money go? What do we do with it? Well, part of it goes towards the operation of the ministry. People don't think of those things, that it pays the property, it pays the light bill, the water bill, it buys snacks for the kids' church, cleaning service, all the utilities, those kinds of things. It doesn't drop from heaven. I wish it did. But it goes to the weekly budget. We support missions with the money that comes in from the church. We also at times will sow into special projects. We'll help people in need, you know, as the Lord leads. There are many things that goes into that. Which brings us to the how of giving. The Bible talks a lot about how we should give. And I know that you know some of these things because we talk about them, but we're going to remind you again. How should we give, or how much should we give? The Bible really talks about two things. Well, it talks about more, but two primary things, tithes and offerings, and also giving alms to the poor. So we see that tithes is spoken of over in Malachi, the third chapter. The word tithe means a tenth. God said that he commands us to give the tithe. A tithe is a tenth of your income. And the Bible says that it belongs to the Lord. You know, if you really think that you're living for Jesus and God is in charge of your life, the Bible says the tithe is his, and it's the first 10%. It belongs to him. And I'm going to read Malachi. It says in verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But ask, how do you rob me? In tithes and offerings." And it says, "You are under the curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Many people have the question, is tithing Old Testament? Is it part of the Old Testament law? Well, we see that tithing was instated even before the law. Abraham gave a tithe of all that he had, and he was certainly before the Mosaic law. You can find that in Genesis 14. The Bible says that the tithe is holy and belongs unto the Lord. It's not your possession. If you really believe that God is God in your life, you are merely the steward of what God has given you. God promises something, though, that if you tithe, that he will prosper you. And when you act in obedience to his word, we can see specific things. He said, "The windows of heaven will be open to pour out a blessing, and he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf when you tithe." The condition of tithing has to be met before you receive the blessings. The Bible also talks about giving offerings. Over in Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 38. It says, "Given, it will be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be poured in your lap. For the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." We know this is not talking about the tithe, because the tithe is a specific amount. It's a tenth. This is talking about what you want to give. And the same measure that you use will be measured back to you. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." It's what an offering is, whatever you determine, whatever you want to give. The Bible says that we shouldn't do it under compulsion. We shouldn't do it reluctantly. We shouldn't do it out of need or necessity or pressure, that we should give with a cheerful heart, a glad heart. So how are you to give? Well, there's specific things that the Word says about how to give. You should be a liberal giver. Over in 2 Corinthians 9, it talks about being a liberal giver, being generous on every occasion, that you could be a liberal giver, that you would be a faithful giver. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, the collection will not have to be made." This was talking about when the Apostle Paul went to the church of Corinth. They had the offering prepared and ready for him to take to the church at Antioch. So it says that we should be faithful, faithful. The Bible says that one that we quote all the time over in the 2 Corinthians 9, that we should be cheerful givers. And again, that goes back to what I was talking about in the beginning, that we don't give because we're supposed to. We don't give because we have to. We give because we get to, because we love him, because we love God. We can give cheerfully. We can give willingly. The Bible says that it's the willing and the obedient that will eat the best of the land, that we can be willing givers. What if God gave reluctantly? For God so liked some people that maybe he thought about giving his son. Reluctant. Well, if I have to. Well, you know, for you, yeah, but not that other one. Give willingly. Willingly, have an open heart, be generous, be liberal, be a cheerful giver, give willingly, be faithful, be committed to it. There are times when we give sacrificially. There are times when we sacrifice for the kingdom of God. I know that there's times when the Lord will ask you to do something, and it will take faith on your part to do it. But that's part of giving too, giving in faith. All things should be done in faith. We want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. Is it God's will for you to prosper? You know, this goes back to the beginning. You know, why do you love God? Why do you want to serve Him? Why do you want to give to Him? Well, hopefully you love Him. And you need to stir that up on the inside of you. Remind yourself. But it is God's will for you to be blessed. It is God's will for you to prosper. It is God's will for you to have more than enough. Not just your needs met, but have more than enough. Have something left to give. God wants you to be a giver. We know what John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly." An abundant life. That's what God's plan is for your life. An abundant life. An abundant life. Some of us need to renew our mind in this area. God wants you to have abundance. I'm not talking about being greedy or selfish or covetous. I'm talking about having an abundant life. That you could be a liberal giver. You can't give what you don't have. That God could use you to be a liberal giver. Wouldn't you want to be a giver? Don't you want to be a giver? Don't you want to have the opportunity to bless people, bless ministries, bless churches, bless organizations that are helping other people? Don't you want to be able to do that? Well, if you do, you need to believe God for increase in your life. Well, that just sounds selfish. No, it's selfish not to. It's selfish not to believe for increase. It's selfish to only care about your own needs. It's selfish to think only of yourself. We need to think of others. We need to be looking for opportunities to bless others and cause increase in the lives of others. But if you don't have it yourself, you can't give it. That's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. You know, the Strong's definition for the word prosperous means to push forward, to break out, and to go over. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to push forward. He wants you to break out. And He wants you to go over the top. That's what God's plan is for your life. Not just barely getting by. Not just squeaking by, having nothing for nobody, even yourself. That's not God's plan. God wants you to have an abundant life. An abundant life. And God will show you how if you ask Him. And if you start giving with what you have, God will increase you. Well, I'll start giving when I get my first million. No, you won't. No, you won't. If you won't give from the dollar you have, you'll never give from the million that you ever get. You know, if all you have is a peanut butter sandwich, give somebody a bite. Give from what you have, and God will bring you higher. You know, it's not just having money in this life. It's not just a bless me club, you know, let's all get rich and you know, drive our Cadillacs. That's not what this is about. God's not opposed to you having a nice car. I have nothing to say about that, but, you know, prosperity is not just about money. It's about you walking successfully in the will of God. That's true prosperity, that you could walk successfully in the will of God. Because there's coming a day where we're all going to stand before Him. And you're going to give an account of your life. And Jesus is going to ask you, what did you do with your life? What did you do with your life? Did you do all that you could do to get people to heaven? Did you do all that you could do to get people to heaven and introduce them to me? The Bible says that God will reward us when we get there. The Greek word for reward, let me try to pronounce it, apodidomi. It means to pay you back. To think that God would pay us back for our giving. When I hear that, my first reaction is, no, Lord, I don't need you to pay. I'm so thankful, so grateful. I don't need you to pay me back. But He says, you know what? I'm talking. I'm going to reward you. That's not up for debate. God's already said He's going to do it. God's going to reward you. The scriptures record it this way over in Matthew 25. verse 23, it says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of the Lord." Have you been faithful over the things of your life? You know, when I have days that I struggle, you ever have days you struggle with things? This is one of the things I think about. Am I being faithful with the things in my life? Because really, that's what God requires of us. He doesn't expect perfection. That's not a license to be sloppy. But God wants us to be faithful, to be diligent to do the very best that we can with what we have. Days that I struggle, I go back and I remind myself of these things. Am I being faithful? Am I doing the very best with what I have today? You know, if you get discouraged or you get distracted, you need to remind yourself that there's more to this life. There is more to this life than just the stuff in front of you. You know, we need to go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, prepare us. Remind us of the whys in our life. The whys. Why do I do this? Why do I do that? Why do I pray? Why do I read my Bible? Why do I worship? Why do I give? Why?" We need to remind ourselves of those things. Help us to get those lost people. Help us to reach out. Help us to be generous. Help us to be spiritual. Help us to stay on the right course. Lord, bless our church. Let it be a place where we can bring lost people and they find Jesus. If you want to be ready for heaven, it's more than just Jesus saved me from my sin. Life is meaningless without the whys. Remind yourself of who He is. You know, when we get saved, we're supposed to surrender our lives to Him. "Jesus, I give you control of my life. I make you the Lord of my life. Here I am." That's what matters. Are you following Him? Are you doing what He said? Or are you just going through the motions today? "Well, what do you want? I gave an offering. I'm here. I clapped." Don't do us any favors. Why are you doing it? It's got to mean something to you. Otherwise, you're just religious. We see how Jesus dealt with the religious people. He didn't have very many kind things to say. You can start over today. You can reset today. Maybe I've been talking to you. Maybe these things are resonating with you. You can reset today. From here on out, I'm going to remind myself of the whys. I'm going to talk about why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm going to allow God to live big in me. We know the scripture, you know, we've been talking about giving this morning, but we know the Bible says that He's a God who meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can rattle off scriptures. We can believe God for prosperity. We can be a giver and a receiver. But you know, even if you're successful at doing those things, if you forget the why, it holds no joy. It holds no meaning. The scripture says, "What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul?" It's not just about stuff. It's not just about money in, money out. It's not about that. It's about your life. The most important thing that you could give is your life to God. Give your life to Jesus. I mean, truly give it to Him. Let Him take charge. Give yourself wholly to Him. Entirely. That when He says go, you go. When He says come, you come. When He says give, you give. When He says pray, you pray. When He says to love, you love. And God is not some evil taskmaster trying to make your life miserable. We've already read from the scriptures that Jesus came that you might have an abundant life. The Bible says God is for you, not against you. He loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave. Don't get the wrong idea when we talk about following Jesus. We follow Him because we get to follow Him, not because we have to. Change your mindset. Change your thinking about it. Let God break up some of the hard places of your heart. Let Him come in and bring life. Let's just pray. Stand up with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You that You are a giver, and Your word says to imitate You. And Father, we purpose in our hearts to be givers. Lord, help us to be good stewards of all that You've given to us. And Lord, we repent if we haven't been faithful, if we haven't been doing what You've told us to do. We know it's Your plan and Your purpose to increase us, that we could continue to be a blessing, that we could be a liberal, generous giver, that we could do it gladly and cheerfully. And Lord, we thank You that You'll bless others and You'll promote the gospel and people's lives will be saved and touched and changed because we gave. Father, we give of ourselves to You this morning. Father, we reset, we adjust ourselves. Lord, if we've just been going through the motions and we've forgotten the whys, Lord, remind us today. Let it not depart from us. Let it not get away from us. Lord, we want to be genuine. Lord, remind us of why we do what we do. As we're looking at these doctrines of the church, Lord, it's not to be legalistic. It's not to be rule-seeking. But Lord, that we would come to be reminded of what we are and what we believe in, because You are a great and mighty God. We thank You for it today. Father, we just lift up our hands as a sign of surrender to You, and we ask You, Lord, to come and touch us. Lord, if there's anything that's dry or dead in us, we ask that You'd take it away. And Lord, breathe life into us today. Breathe Your strength into us today. We thank You, Lord, that we get to be in relationship with You, that we get to be a giver, that we get to be a believer, that we get to pray in faith, that we get to read Your word, that we get to be with You, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We get to be with You. Father, make our hearts hungry. Make our hearts hungry for more of You.
Yes, Father.
Father, we put our eyes on You. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name.
Blessed week.